Welcome to the Pocket Coven Podcast,
where magic meets mental health. I'm Amber Lenore, a witch and licensed psychotherapist.
I'm Callie Little, a sex educator and emotional support witch. And we're
the coven in your pocket.
We are doing a special episode today. We are going to be answering your questions.
Yes, Callie and I are winding down after making art and before we do Animal Crossing and New Moon magic, and we are taking some time to talk to the community.
And ourselves and each other. Regulating, co-regulating, community regulating, answering,
questioning,
burgeoning with information and wisdom.
Popping at the seams.
People are like, get to the fucking point.
What the fuck are the questions? Shut up.
So we're just going to jump right in and start with this question from Alex. It seems like every book is Wicca leaning. What are your recommendations for non-Wiccan books about witchcraft and other kinds of paths? That's a great question.
That is a good question. Yeah, they are Wicca leaning.
A lot of them, yeah. But, you know, I think that a book that I would recommend is A Practical Guide to Witchcraft by Ilva Mara Radzowski. And I've mentioned that book on the pod before. She is a local witch, and she really knows her stuff. It is an accessible little tome of knowledge for just about anybody. And even though I went into it knowing some of like the first chapter, you know, I had a ton to learn, and I'm by no means past a 101 witch, but I feel like that was a really good book to add to my library.
I really love Weaving the Liminal, Weave the Liminal, which I've quoted a few times. I don't know if she identifies as a Wiccan. I think she identifies as a modern traditional witch, some such thing. And then also, you know, depending on what kind of magic you're doing, finding a book that's particular to that kind of magic, like books on tarot, books on mysticism, books on alchemy.
I know that a book that you talk about a lot, Amber, is The Spiral Dance by Starhawk.
Yeah, but super Wiccan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I haven't read it. Also, you know, while Amber is looking over her bookshelf, I will say try out the books that excite you the most. Like she was saying, follow specific guides. And if you see a book that seems like it might be a good guide to tarot, follow that. Just go with the things that make you excited and curious, and know that if something doesn't work for you, you get to leave it. And if it leads to you being really excited about more of that topic or something it brings up, beautiful. It's done its job.
Yeah, exactly. As I'm looking at my bookshelf, I realize that the reason I'm searching around is because all my books are particular. So I'm really into water magic. So I have books on water magic, right? And that's like one particular kind of witchcraft. I have my Mythology for a Magical Life book because I like mythology. So I would ask yourself, what part of witchcraft am I most interested in? And then find a book that particularly covers that topic and that will come with rituals and different contexts that you can use to intensify or, you know, add depth to your practice. And then you kind of become your own kind of witch.
Yeah. And witchcraft and magic in general is, even if you're following a specific tradition, it is always a self-led process. Even if you're in a coven, even if you're in a community, it's your practice. So even if you are Wiccan, this advice can go for you too. You know, it doesn't have to be a, I think the word would be monotheistic approach.
Wicca is polytheistic. So, yeah. but like a single faith.
You get to bring your full self to it.
Yeah, exactly.
We also just posted a whole stack of books that we were gifted by Red Wheel Wiser Books. So you could take a look at those. I chose all of those titles from their entire catalog, and they have like hundreds of titles. So those are the ones that really stuck out to the two of us. I know that Amber is a sea witch. So I got the sea witch titles. We're both into Celtic mythology because we come from Celtic folks. And I also just ordered on thriftbooks.com, which is my number one favorite way to buy books. It sounds like an ad and it's not. I just actually really love used books and cheap books. I bought some books on dog magic and dog mythology.
That is so cute.
I know. I'm really excited.
Oh, fun.
So follow what gets you excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that question, Alex. That was a really good one. Our next question is from Casey, who asks, I've been wanting to connect with a specific goddess more in a personal way, but I haven't found my one. Could you recommend a deck or book to give me more info on specific goddesses to connect to?
Yeah. I mean, there's always, you know, good old internet search. That's a whole thing. There is getting an anthology or encyclopedia of different pantheons of gods and goddesses from different cultures. You know, most anthologies of god and goddess and deity is kind of cross-cultural. There's a lot of books out like that. I think you can also think about like different things you're attracted to. Like my clue about Hecate is that I was really drawn to the moon. So then I was looking at different goddesses that are associated with the moon. I've done the same process with the sea. That's how I came to Selkie. So I'd be curious for you to investigate which things you're drawn to and see if any deities are associated with that particular thing.
I agree. And also I would suggest if you do know any of your ancestral information, you can look into different deities and belief systems that were popular with your ancestors. And that's not at all to say that you have to limit your esoteric explorations to those specific cultures. Do be aware of cultural appropriation. Be aware that there are some closed practices out there. So do your research as you're finding any kind of deity or spiritual practice to connect with. But I really like looking at my heritage and seeing what I resonate with in there. And, you know, the way that I started connecting with Hecate was actually that Amber had been talking about her. And I was like, oh, that sounds like my shit. You know, she's the goddess of midwifery and death, and she's this light bearer. And I felt like I wasn't allowed to like this thing because one of my very best friends in the world liked this thing. But then when I was reading Amanda Yates Garcia's book, Initiated, she says that often goddesses come to her through other people telling her about them. And I was like, oh, that's what's happening. Okay. So know that, you know, here thousands, if not millions of people have worshipped these old, old deities. You're not taking somebody's like cool thing. You get to worship the same gods and goddesses that everybody else does.
Yeah. I kind of think of it like dating, like date around, sleep around a little.
I was like poly, like everybody should date everybody.
Polyamory is also polytheism. Yeah, sure.
Polydeity.
Right, polydeity, exactly. And that's another thing to say is that Hecate is like a primary for me, but I'm pagan, so I'm polytheistic. So there's not just one, there's plenty. There's all sorts of them that are emerging slowly over time. So you're allowed to have, you know, multiple deities at a time if that's your belief system. You're allowed to have one that you're working with for a season. It kind of doesn't, I mean, it matters and it doesn't matter. It matters to you. You're the one who gets to say if it matters. But I was thinking it's more like dating around in the sense of, you know, like when you're on a date with someone that you're really into and you'll know, you know, if you're not feeling it, then it's not the right one. It's a pretty intuitive practice.
I agree. So, you know, try some things on. Don't worry about getting it right. And I had a good time looking at YouTube and seeing people talk about connecting with deity. Mint Fairy, who we've had on the show has some good episodes about personified deity. There are also all of these very wine ant looking crones on YouTube who I just adore watching. You know, so many people are like, oh, I literally saw the goddess. I literally heard in my ears, I heard her voice say this thing. You know, it wasn't like that for me. And I'm not saying that any of that is invalid, but just know that it doesn't have to be this literal thing. Like you see, you have a vision. It can just be that you feel drawn to something. Just trust that. Part of this process really is just believing in your intuition.
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you for the question, Casey. I hope that we answered it for you. Let us know if you have any follow-up questions. And the next comes from Hannah. I just listened to the boundary episode today and was wondering how you cast a circle for spell work. I usually skip this step, but now I feel like I've been skipping a very important step after listening to that episode. You know, I hear you. I don't usually cast a circle for things, but I do for really intense shit. And honestly, what I did was I Googled how to cast a circle, how to call the corners, and then I just customized it a little bit for myself. And I also added in a closing of the circle at the end where I kind of went through the same calling of the corners, but instead of calling them in, I thanked them and said, I closed the circle.
Yeah, exactly. There's many ways. You can put a circle of scarves around you. If you're on the beach, you can draw a circle around your ritual space. I mean, you can make just a physical partition. That is pretty good because our brain knows what that's about. I like to call the corners, so Guardians of the Watchtowers of the East, etc. And that works pretty well for me. I also work with a small sand tray at my altar, so I'll make a circle in the sand tray when I'm doing spell work. If I'm journaling, I'll draw a circle. That usually works. Sometimes casting a circle is just that I'm going into my office, which is where I do all my ritual work, and I'm cleaning up, and I'm lighting some incense, and I'm cleansing the space. But most of the time, I'm literally working with a circle or some sort of device, like calling the corners, that makes some sort of circle of protection around me.
Any sort of grounding, purification, protection spell that you're doing, any incense you're lighting or, you know, sprinkling salt around, all of that is essentially also circle casting. And listen, I know seasoned witches. I know that I just said something and you're like, you're not correct. But here's my point. You are setting the space, you're setting the intention, and the point of a circle is a container. So if what works for you is incense and sitting in the same spot or whatever, then you are casting your circle. And it is, you know, as we keep saying, it's about finding the way that works for you. So try on some different styles. Also, don't feel weird don't feel bad if you feel weird when you say so mote it be for the first time, because that one really took me a long time. And now I love it. I, at the end of any spell work I do, say, as above, so below, this is my will, so mote it be. And you're welcome to take that. It's not new to me. You know, I didn't make that up. I just pushed together some words that a lot of people have said, and that's what I like. You get to figure out what works for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, having something you say at the beginning and the end can be a way to create structure and containment. I'm sure there's other perspectives, but from my perspective, it's not like something dangerous will happen if I don't cast a circle. I just find I won't feel as regulated and I won't feel like the ritual is concrete enough without a circle, because brains, again, work really well with containers and processing. So yeah, make it what you need it to be, but make it.
I agree. I like this question, Hannah. Thank you. And I kind of want to go on a little bit of a tangent from that for a moment before we get to the next two questions. Because you just brought up the idea of not going into something like with the expectation that you're, you know, hiding from bad stuff. And I think that's so important. And I really think of those kinds of mental boundaries as wards.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't, that's again, just like a personal perspective. I don't really believe that there's anything that is trying to hurt me. I believe that there are different energies that are really chaotic or that carry pain, but maybe it's because I deal in pain professionally. I'm not super scared of it. So I think that a lot of those energies can feel really threatening because, like, have you ever hung out with a traumatized person? We can be pretty threatening, right? So, you know, an energy or a deity that might be attracted to you because of the spell work you're doing that might be in a lot of pain might feel scary to you. But overall, I find that they're not malevolent. Like, all of these energies are a natural part of the system of nature, the system of the other world and this world. So I trust them, and I haven't ever had any problems personally.
Yeah, I haven't had any, you know, chaos show up from me doing nice things at my altar and talking to my dead relatives.
I mean, I've been given a lot of dead animals, which I'm, you know, fairly neutral on. You know, sometimes like, you know, no thanks, but, you know, that's not too bad. They're just communicating with me.
Yeah. I think if you're getting spooked by coming to your practice, don't come to your practice right then. Don't come into anything with the kind of energy that you can't control. Part of this practice is being in charge of your experience. This is a practice of self-ownership and self-direction. And while you can be open to the experience, if you're bringing in fear, I mean, it's just not going to be as magical for you. So let it sit for a moment. Let it calm down. Do some grounding before you start, you know, stirring up the magic.
Yeah, exactly.
On that note, let's move on to our next question, which is from Caitlin. Witch stuff question. How did you find your spirituality and how did you find your community within it? Coming from a Christian background with a central text and a building in most towns, it's harder to easily access a sense of community. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah, I know. I wish there was a witch church. That'd be so cool.
Witch church coming in 2030 by Callie and Amber.
That'd be a fun little... That's what we'll call one of the camps.
Welcome to Witch Church, bitches.
Brooms up. How did I find community? I mean, the really beautiful thing about right now is that we're all super used to finding community on the internet at this moment in time. Not to mention most generations at this point have been conditioned to do that. So obviously, like, the internet. Yes. And that is how I found Amber. Like, we found each other through Tumblr.
Yeah, we met online.
And I mean, how many people in my life have I met online? I met my spouse on OkCupid, you know?
I met my partner on OkCupid, on Tinder, excuse me. Excuse me.
I met my spouse before Tinder was even a thing. But yeah, the internet is amazing. And I mean, that's how you found us. So you have, like, look, right now, you have sent me this message to my personal DMs, right? And we're answering it on our show. All of that is through the internet. Like, you do have community. And I know what you mean. I know that it's different to be listening to a podcast and to DM somebody who you don't know intimately on a personal level. And what you're looking for is, like, that deep interpersonal connection. So start finding witches, start finding, you know, the people who like our podcast and ones like it and who go to the cool witch shops, find them in your city and start talking to them, because all of us, even those of us who are, like, full up on friendships, like, when you find that magical soulmate friend, you know, it's happened to all of us and you're going to vibe. You just have to be open to it.
Yes, and queers and academics. Wherever there are academics or queers, there are witches.
True.
Hang out at bookshops. You know, I don't know exactly what your community looks like. It might be completely true that there's literally not a witch or a pagan in the bunch. Like, just nobody there. That might be totally true.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I'm just like, move. No.
I mean,
you know, a lot of people do. I don't know your situation, but, you know, if there literally is no one, you do have an internet community that's really big. And if you ever do leave your small town, there are plenty of places in this world, especially on the coasts of the United States, where True. There are a lot of witches. There are a lot.
True. Oh, the whole West Coast has got a ton of magic to it. And I mean, and I've known witches on the East Coast too. And I have had a lot of luck finding like-minded people on everything from Reddit, which I used to think Reddit was essentially the same thing as 4chan.
It's not.
There are some amazing communities on Reddit. And I also, you know, I met a witchy pen pal of mine on a website called Swapbot, which is for like pen pal enthusiasts. I am a lifelong pen paler. I love stationery, love writing letters. I love getting mail. And I joined Swapbot, and there are a bunch of witches who are really into pen paling. So I've met folks there. If that sounds like something you're into, it's a really easy website to get started with. And look at YouTube. You know, people like Mint Fairy. Mint is a YouTube personality, but also just a human. And I just slid into her DMs one day and I was like, hey, we have something in common. And we just immediately became friends. So don't be afraid to reach out to people who you think you might vibe with and just be like, I like this thing about you. Let's be friends.
Also, I noticed that a lot of communities seem like they don't have any witches or any pagans or anything, but they do, because it's not exactly something that people are advertising unless you live in Seattle or
yeah.
another like really liberal city where everybody's just like really excited and transparent and have really visible tattoos about their witchcraft, you know, like I do and like Allie does, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd wonder if there was like a local chapter of Wicca or a local pagan chapter. Also, Unitarians are fairly tolerant and fairly spiritual. You know, there can be adjacent communities if you really want to be in a physical space with other spiritual people. Also people that are into the metaphysics or into like meditation or yoga, like, you know, like any of the woo traditions
yeah.
are usually pretty accepting of witches, or they might kind of be witches and just not call themselves that.
I have so many people in my life who might not identify as witches, but who I would, you know, personally index as witches.
Like artists, anyone making any kind of art
yeah.
is a witch. I mean, rather they identify that way or not, they're making magic every time they make art.
It's true. You know, my therapist does not put on their website, I am a witch, but they do have on their website that they offer compassionate depossession. And I was like, that's some witchy shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of my clients don't listen to this podcast and don't know I'm a witch. And I don't share that.
That's wild to me. I would assume everyone knows that about you.
No. I mean, they know how I look. They know how I present. They know that I'm not a very buttoned up person. But I would say, because I do work with a group practice in addition to my independent practice. My independent practice, yeah, pretty all my clients know I'm a witch. The group practice I work in with children and families, no, they know I'm heavily tattooed and I'm kind of wild, you know, but they don't know fucking shit about my spiritual system. And that's fine. So there's a lot of us that are, I would say most of us are pretty closeted. And that's even with me living in Seattle. I'm still careful because you get 10 miles out of Seattle, it is not liberal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, this is where me being autistic really shows, because I have literally never hid anything that I think people would be weird about with me. And I say that knowing that it sounds like a really intense thing to say, but, you know, literally the same day I kissed a girl for the first time, I told everybody. I was like, I guess I kiss girls now. And as soon as I became poly, I was like, hey, everybody, I'm poly now. Yeah, mom, what do you think? I don't care. Great. And being a witch, I mean, sometimes I'm a little bit like, ooh, I hope that nobody hates me when I post this dildo on my Instagram. But I just forget, you know, that's part of my neurotype, is that sometimes it can seem like the whole world is just my experience, even when it's not.
Yeah, no. I mean, some of my clients have found me through the podcast, so mm-hmm. that's an easy in. They already know a lot about me. Yeah. But generally, my personal beliefs don't come up in people's therapy. Like my some of my experiences do, but my beliefs don't because they're not relevant to their treatment. So, you know, and also when I'm working with certain populations of people, they wouldn't understand and they don't have connections to these communities and they would believe I was worshiping Satan, which I'm not. And I, you know, right? So there's a lot of considerations. There's nobody in my personal life who doesn't know I'm a witch. That is definitely true, but I do have a siloed portion of my professional life that I just do not mix those things up because I'm protecting myself. It's called the witch wound. It's real.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Caitlin, it's a great question. And clearly we have a lot of thoughts on it.
We have a lot of thoughts, period.
I mean, we did joke about calling the podcast Deep Thoughts, THOTS.
Then we need another podcast.
As if we don't already have our bonus content, Patreon, and our book club podcast.
We already have 2 hours of recording per week, and I have about 4 to 6 hours of editing every week. So yeah, I think we're good.
And you know what? Not to toot our horn for ourselves, but toot, toot, bitch. If you are looking for a witchy community, we have a Patreon, and you can access our lovely little comment section there. And if you're part of the Book Coven tier, which is the $15 tier, then you get access to our private Facebook group. So it's a much more like one-on-one group hang experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an option. But our final question for this episode is coming from Lauren. And the question is, what are your top free recommended resources about witchcraft for a newbie witch? Books, podcasts, websites, apps, etc.
Yes. Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Love them.
Strange Magic / Between the Worlds.
Yes.
Moonbeaming. Pocket Coven Podcast. Those are the podcasts that I would recommend for witchiness. Two of them are pretty much tarot.
And one of them is the one you're already listening to.
Yeah, so great. You're already fucking doing it. Amazing.
I love searching YouTube. I have found so much amazing information on YouTube. When I was getting started on my Book of Shadows, I just watched a million YouTube videos on it. Got really inspired. Already have mentioned Mint Fairy in this episode, but they do have an amazing channel full of just hours and hours and hours of information. So I highly recommend them.
Yeah, I mean, the internet, man, like there's just everything is there.
Yeah. But like, what are our specific recommendations?
Specifics?
You know,
because
people like our brains, which is cool.
I know. Yeah. I mean, really, my main entry point has been reading books, audiobooks, listening to those podcasts. I mean, my very favorite book recommendations are Spiral Dance, Drawing Down the Moon, 78 Degrees of Wisdom, Initiated. And then I talked about some other ones in our other question. There is a lot of book information there.
I would say if you're looking for a way to read the books for free, check out the app Libby, which connects with your local library, and you can rent digital versions and audiobooks through that app so that you can get them just right on your phone without even going into your library. And also, if that is not connected to your local library, see if your local library has their own offerings online, because that is also an option. And my favorite horoscope app, or like astrology app, I guess would be the phrasing. Jesus, I'm not an astro witch, but the pattern is scarily accurate. I love that. That's free. And if you want a little digital tarot deck that's free, I love the app Mystic Mondays. They have two options within the app where you can pull a tarot card of the day and a gem card of the day. So I really like that. Also, the Mystic Mondays ones, it even does pull in reverse, which is cool. So those are easy ways to have some free things on your phone. if you can't afford to buy a tarot deck, I have actually printed my own. There are a ton of free tarot deck PDFs on the internet. So you can just print them out, cut them out by hand, and make yourself a tarot deck.
And both the Spiral Dance and Drawing Down the Moon are so old that I am sure you can read them online. Like, you know, once a book has been around for a long time, you can just find the PDF, you know, like it's out there. And those are like really foundational texts, especially if you are leaning towards pagan witchcraft. Drawing Down the Moon is just amazing. They even cover druids in there, Wiccans, Satanists, everything. And that gives you like a nice historical context.
It's true. And we're not saying like look for the bootleg version. We're not saying, you know, don't pay these creators. There are so many books that are actually just available for free because of amazing programs. So looking up like free PDF and a book title, you'll often find an actually legitimate way to get these things.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. Oh, I'm feeling the need to cross animals.
I need to get rid of my least favorite villager, Snake.
He's terrible.
Callie brought her amiibos, so I'm really fucking excited to get rid of Snake because all he does is work out and tell me boring shit. And I want
him. He stares at his walls.
He does. I go into his house all the time and he's just like staring at the fucking wall. I'm like, oh, okay, you're just doing that again. All right, I'm going to leave. And then he turns around and he's like, what? Like, I'm like, what? What am I going to stay for? I'm very antagonistic towards this villager.
Animal Crossing is a therapeutic experience, and he clearly represents a father figure. So.
Obviously, get off of my island.
you fuck.
You fuck.
If you want to hear us talk about more Animal Crossing and all sorts of witchy, weird shit, because Animal Crossing is definitely witchy if you're us, then you can follow us on Patreon. We're at the witch tier and above. You get access to bonus content every single week, not to mention every week prior. So right now, I think you're going to get a whopping like 26 bonus episodes. That's crazy.
If listening to us talk for 55 minutes is not enough, you can listen for an hour and a half.
You can listen for like a week.
You can listen. Yeah, there's so many hours of content now. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So head on over to Patreon. Or if you don't want to give us money, but you love us anyway, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We read them constantly. We love every single person who's left them. And if you just want to stay in touch, you can follow us at Pocket Coven Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
Them's the breaks.
Sometimes you eat the bear. Sometimes the bear eats you. That's from The Big Lebowski.
Boom. Roasted. Okay, we're losing our minds, so we will talk to you next week.